Thank you, operator. Welcome everybody to our conference call. Today we'll discuss for you PKN Orlen results after second quarter of 2010. The speaker for today will be Mr. Sławomir Jędrzejczyk, Deputy President of the Management Board of PKN Orlen and CFO of our company. Following the presentation, we'll open the floor for Q&A session. My name is Dariusz Brembosz. I will be assisting you with hopefully smooth running of these calls. Without any further delay, I give floor to Mr. Sławomir Jędrzejczyk. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The holiday season comes to the end, so I hope everyone is safely back home. And I would like to assure you that we at PKN Orlen, we haven't slowed down during the summer season and we continue all our efforts to increase the value of our company. So today, we have some good news to announce. In the second quarter this year, our operating profit amounted to 1.1 billion Polish zlotys. According to LIFO, our profit achieved almost 700 million Polish zlotys, and those significant improvements as compared to last year were possible due to two elements. The first one, improvement of the macro situation, so increasing the refining margin and Brent Urals spread up to $6.5 per barrel, and at the same time increase of petrochemical margins to 721 euro per ton. But what's more important, I believe, we improved our operational performance very significantly. That means that the sales volume grew by 5%. At the same time, we increased our utilization ratios and fuel yields. We decreased our losses in the production environment as well. And what's very important, our cash flow situation is better and better. We managed to reduce our debt by 500 million Polish zlotys as compared to the end of March this year, but by 3.5 billion Polish zlotys as compared to the last year. And that was possible due to the very good cash flow from operating activities, which amounted to 2.5 billion Polish zlotys in the second quarter this year. And of course, we are very happy that all our efforts are highly appreciated by the external environment. As you probably know, we are regarded a few achievements in the independent rankings. So we are really happy and thank you for this. To go into more detailed explanation what happened in the second quarter, I would start with the macro environment. On slide number 5 and 6, you can see all main indices that affect our performance. The most important one is the refining margin and Brent Urals spread. As I said, increased to $6.5 per barrel. This is $1 increase as compared to last year. But what's very important, this is more than $3.5 per barrel as compared to the fourth quarter last year, which was really a bottom in the refining environment. Petrochemical margin, steady growth, as you can see on this slide, from below 500 euro per ton to 721, so it's more than 50% increase year on year. Crude oil price increases as well. Of course, in the past two quarters, we may say that the crude oil stabilized a little bit. At the moment, we have $78 per barrel. So as regards LIFO effect, of course, this quarter, we still recorded quite significant LIFO effect exceeding 400 million Polish zlotys, but if the situation continues to be like this, of course the LIFO effect will be lower in the third quarter this year. As regards Polish zloty against US dollar and euro, the situation is very dynamic. As you can see on this slide, the average, for example, euro, Polish zloty against euro is almost on the same level, but if you look into the end of June, this year, of course, zloty weakened quite significantly. For example, a Polish zloty against dollar was 3.39. So really we needed to restate our debt position in the foreign currency. What's very important for us is on the slide number 6, the GDP growth. So we operate on four main markets, as you know, Poland, Germany, Czech Republic and Lithuania. And this is the first quarter during the many quarters behind that we have positive GDP growth. There was very promising in Polish market and German market, and of course this led to increase in the diesel consumption. So as we know, diesel is consumed by private companies, so this is correlated with the GDP growth. But of course, if you look on this slide number 6, gasoline consumption dropped, and this is due to the fact that gasoline is consumed by individual customers mainly, and still the macro environment is not stable, and at the same time, fuel prices increase by roughly 20% in the year on year, so that's why the consumers are kind of reluctant and afraid of buying as much fuel as last year. But generally, I may say that the macro environment is favorable for us. Second quarter was really good. So let's move to the financial and operating results. On slide number 8, we present the main indices. Revenue increased by 26% and amounted to more than 21 billion Polish zlotys in the second quarter this year. And this is mainly due to, of course, crude oil price increase, but at the same time, crude oil throughput increased by 5% and total sales increased in terms of volumes by 5% as well. So as a result, there is a very significant increase in EBIT, roughly 500 million Polish zlotys as compared to last year. And what's very important, our net result is positive. It's 43 million Polish zlotys. So due to the fact that we needed to restate our payables and credit facilities due to weakening of Polish zlotys, we recorded quite a significant foreign exchange negative difference. However, this negative difference is unrealized mainly. So most of this can be reversed in July. So let's move to the slide number 9, where we present more data from the P&L perspective. And I would pay attention to the three elements. First of all, EBIT in LIFO. So this is the main factor we pay attention. And of course, last year that was a loss of 267 million Polish zlotys, whereas this year we achieved almost 1 billion improvement and our result is close to 700 million. The second, as you can see, more than 1 billion foreign exchange loss. So as I said, more than 60% of this is unrealized foreign exchanges. And if you look into July performance of Polish zlotys, I may say that all of this was reversed in July. So of course we cannot say what's going on to happen in September still, but those foreign exchanges are really unrealized and this is not a worry for us. Net result, of course, small profit this quarter, but if you look cumulatively in the first half of 2010, there is a very significant improvement of almost 600 million Polish zlotys to more than 650 million Polish zlotys in the first half of this year. Now let's look into our EBIT LIFO split by segments. So what's very important, all our segments are doing good basically. Refining, retail and petchem business recorded profits as compared to the losses, for example, of refining and petchem last year. So very significant improvement in refining and petchem due to the macro environment improvement, but at the same time increasing volumes for refining and successful implementation of our optimization programs. We should look into retail as well. Retail is slightly lower than last year, but this is a great result, I believe, in this environment. We all remember that last year that was a record high number for retail. And this year, due to the fact that fuel prices increased, we see huge pressure on our margins. So year on year, in the second quarter, we lost 55 million Polish zlotys due to the lower margin, and basically almost all of this was regained due to the volumes increase, our non-fuel sale increase, and decrease of cost of our retail operations. So if you look into the different markets, basically the biggest pressure on margin was on German market, and then on Czech Republic and Lithuanian market. On Polish market, we saw some pressure as well. The margins are slightly lower than last year, but the pressure was not that significant as in German market.
Corporate expansion, maybe one sentence here. Of course, there is a slight increase, almost 40 million as compared to last year, but that was due to the fact that we created provision for one of the cases from the prior years related to anti-monopoly proceedings. So this is just one-off. So if you look into the cumulative numbers during the first half of this year, this is lower than last year. Volume. Of course, very good numbers in terms of volumes. We are still gaining market share in retail, so 5% increase. If you look into different markets, basically 8% increase in German market, more than 4% on Polish market, and slightly drop in Czech Republic and Lithuanian market. But altogether 5%, we are gaining market share on each of these markets, so this is really, really great achievement of our company. Refining 8% increase, petchem. Our main products, olefins and polyolefins, are on the same level, which is quite a good level during this environment, whereas we lost some volumes in PVC and fertilizer. This year is really difficult for fertilizers and PVC, that's why we are suffering a little bit, that's why altogether the volumes are 10% down. On the next slide, slide number 12, we present some production factor, and what's very important, utilization rate. So our port refinery continues to work full capacity utilization, but what's very important, our Lithuanian refinery improved as compared to the first quarter this year, the utilization rate by more than 20%, from 68% to 90%. At the same time, our Czech refinery improved by 10 percentage points from 69 to 79%. And fuel yield improvements in this area as well, by 1 or 2 percentage points increase on fuel yield in all our refineries. So to conclude this part, of course the financial and operational performance this quarter was really good, and as I said, not only macro environment helped us, but our internal efforts as well. So now liquidity, the next area of the great importance for a company. Let's move to slide number 14. So we continue to decrease our debt. 500 million reduction debt in the second quarter this year, and really 3.5 billion as compared to the last year. So this is a great achievement, and our financial situation is really, really stable. Majority of our debt is due from 2012 onwards. We have available credit facilities of over 1 billion euro, and what's more important, the covenant net debt to EBITDA plus dividend from Polkomtel is on a very safe level below 2. As you all remember, I guess, this is 3.5 in the agreement with the bank facilities. So below 2 is really, really low number. Some explanation to the foreign exchange, just for your record. Of course, still majority of our debt is in the foreign currency, and the total revaluation of our credit facilities was 1.4 in the second quarter, and 500 of these went to P&L, and 900 was recorded in equity as a revaluation line, and 600 million due to net investment hedge connected with Orlen Lietuva, and 300 million due to restatement of foreign units debt positions. On slide number 15, we present more data on the cash flow situation. I will put attention to a few numbers. First of all, our gearing. So as you can see, year on year, we decreased the gearing from above 66% to below 45%. So we are definitely on the way to achieve our strategic target between 30 and 40% gearing. And that was due to the fact that our cash flow for operation is still very significant. 2.5 billion generated in the second quarter this year. Of course, changes in the working capital, 1.2. But even if you exclude changes in the working capital, we steady generate more than 1 billion Polish zlotys cash each quarter. CapEx
As we indicated, we optimized CapEx cumulatively in the first half with 1.4 billion Polish zlotys, much lower than last year. But of course, we continue all our main programs like PAKE PTA and hydro desulfurization of diesel in Płock refinery. And we still confirm the yearly target for CapEx between 3 and 3.5 billion Polish zlotys. On the next slide, we present the working capital initiatives. As you know, last year we implemented a few initiatives in working capital area and cash flow from investment. And in the second quarter this year, the net effect, positive effect out of those initiatives was 700 million Polish zlotys. So we extended payment for the crude oil, but at the same time we decreased factoring of our receivables. So at the end of second quarter 2010, we may say that 2.9 billion cash was generated from those three initiatives, 1.8 due to extension of payments of crude oil, 800 million due to the sale of the inventories, strategic inventories in the first quarter 2010, and 300 million due to factoring. On the cash flow from investment, our initiative generated 1.2 billion. And just to let you know that, as we indicated last quarter, 600 million investment payment actually was done in August. So this 600 million cash outflow would increase our cash outflow in the third quarter. So financial position is really, really great. So we look much more optimistic in terms of our future growth. And on the slide 18, we present the main actions we defined at the beginning of the year towards increasing of PKN Orlen value. So as you remember, those actions were grouped into three categories. The first one, improvement of our subsidiaries operation. The second, further reduction of our debt. And the third one, development of our investment. So as regards subsidiaries, of course, very good results of Orlen Lietuva in this environment. So we implemented all the actions related to efficiency. So we improved our cost position. We reduced our cost by close to $10 million US dollars year on year. We further reduced the number of employees in the first half of this year by almost 150 employees. So really, we implement utilization rates. We improved the utilization rate. We decreased internal usage. So all efficiency programs are really successful. That's why we managed to achieve positive results in LIFO. Unipetrol, petchem performance, of course, improves as well as refining. So Unipetrol recorded good results, positive results as well. As regards further reduction of our debt, of course, we are still in the consultation process of new act related to the taking over by the government the strategic reserve. Of course, there was a holiday season, so there was a little bit of slowdown in this area. But we still believe this act will be pushed forward. Of course, in realistically speaking, we can expect that this act will be implemented only next year. So that's why we don't wait for this. We are still working hard on the second tranche of our strategic reserve. So the project is quite advanced, and in the realistic scenario, assuming we reach the agreement with the bank, in the fourth quarter, the second card tranche can be sold. Angel, of course, we gave the announcement in June, so we stopped a little bit this process because the offer we got was not satisfactory for us. Of course, we wait for the improvement of the macro environment for fertilizers and PVC, but of course at the same time we prepare ourselves internally in case we decide to split the company into two parts, meaning fertilizers and PVC. Polkomtel, we speed up a little bit with Polkomtel sale because we reached the agreement among Polish shareholders. Each shareholder selected the advisor, so the advisors are working together currently. The plan was prepared of the exit of all shareholders from Polkomtel. So we plan to finally conclude the vendor due diligence process, the memorandum, information memorandum, and we will be ready in the fourth quarter to do the marketing and to start the going out to the market looking for offers. And the third area, development of our investment, of course, as I said, we continue our main program, SAFE PTA. The plan is to start up in the fourth quarter this year. The hydrodesulfurization of diesel, the plan is to start up this in the first quarter this year. We continue our project in upstream and energy. In upstream, we of course evaluate the shale gas opportunities, and next year we'd like to start the first drilling in the exploration phase of this project. Energy, we prepare our project of building the power plant in Włocławek, so this is something we are going to finally decide in the first half of next year. So to conclude, slide number 19, that was really a very good quarter for PKN Orlen. I may say the best quarter from the beginning of 2009, so we have very significant improvement of our results. We have a large safety buffer for our liquidity. We consistently realize all our action to increase the PKN Orlen value, and we really thank you very much for the awards we received recently as the best managed company by Euromoney and the best investor relations by IR Magazine in 2010. So thank you very much for this, and I believe we are ready for questions.
Thank you. Operator, we are ready to take the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star one to raise your question, or the hash or pound key to cancel. Our first question comes from Mr. Thomas Fletcher. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. It's Tomasz Pleczar, speaking from ING. I got two questions. The first one is regarding your petrochemical activities. You mentioned in the presentation that volumes were down 10% year on year. I wonder how much is it due to the lower demand for PVC and fertilizers, and how much is it for the shutdowns of different units? That's the first question. And the second question is regarding your swap activities. I listened to your competitor Lotus presentation, and they were talking about higher volumes to be sold on the Polish market. I wonder if the swap agreements with Lotus, will there be any swap agreements with Lotus which would be beneficial for both companies? Are you not planning this activity in the future?
Thank you very much. So as regards fertilizers and PVC, so in terms of shutdowns, we had in our Andir operation one plant shutdown of 3 weeks in the second quarter and one unplanned. We announced this that our chlorine plant broke down in June, so there was a long shutdown we expect. So in the third quarter, our PVC capacity will be dropped to 50% only, and starting from the October up to the end of the year, we can regain up to 100%. So from the capacity utilization perspective, really we see some lower production volumes from PVC. But of course, this breakdown was covered by insurance and by business interruption. So we are in the discussions with insurance company at the moment. So any lost operating profit due to this shutdown, we hope will be regained from the insurance. As regards fertilizers, we didn't have any shutdown. So you may say this is macro environment, so lower demand in fertilizer business in the second quarter.
So you say that there was no problem on the polyethylene side from the demand. The demand was rather lower on the PVC and fertilizer side, plus on PVC.
As regards monomers and polymers, we had some shutdowns as well in the second quarter. So in our there was a shutdown of 3 weeks of steam cracker in Port refinery, and there was a shutdown of 3 weeks on polyethylene and polypropylene in our BOP operation. So really that was three weeks shutdown, so there were kind of lower production volumes as well in the petchem business. So this is mainly driven by this in our case.
Okay, so if let's turn it differently, if there were no shutdowns, your volumes would have been potentially up by a few percentage points.
Of course, this is the question of the question of the price, because really the I cannot say definitely how the market would absorb these additional volumes and what would be the price for this product, but generally you might say yes. As regards the second question, of course, I would say that any swap which is profitable is welcomed by PKN Orlen. So, of course, in case of Lotos and PKN Orlen, of course, any swap that can decrease the logistics cost would be more than welcome. So, at the moment, we don't have currently the swap agreement with Lotos. So, of course, once there will be additional volume coming to Polish market from the Lotos refinery, of course, we are ready to sit at the table and discuss this opportunity.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Matthew Lofty. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Hi, good morning. Matt Lofty here at Morgan Stanley. Two quick questions, please. Firstly, I wonder if you could just, on the Lithuanian options operation, set out the sort of next steps and timelines that you expect through the next few months after the recent appointment of advisors there. And secondly, I wonder if you could give a little bit of color in terms of the sort of nearer term outlook through the second half of the year. Clearly, margins, etc., in Q2 were relatively strong, but it seems that margins have been a little bit weaker Q3 to date. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. As regards Lithuanian refineries, so we have been communicated for the few past months that we are working internally on the evaluation of the situation of Orlen Lietuva. So we have really great knowledge where we stand at the moment. And 2 weeks ago, we decided to do the next step. That means to test the market, because as you probably know, we have a few options available for Orlen Lietuva. So starting from the further improvement of efficiency of this refinery up to the sale of 100% stake. But of course, we concluded the first part, which is what to do to improve efficiency of this refinery, and we have the great knowledge on this, but we need to test the market, whether there is market appetite and at what price to purchase this refinery. So we selected Nomura for the second stage of our process. And in the fourth quarter this year, I believe this will be the time when we decide which option is the best for PKN Orlen and for our shareholders. So the next announcement you may expect fourth quarter this year. As regards the macro environment, so we can move to, because we have the supporting slide number 31 and 32, represent the macro environment up to date, basically, in the third quarter. So, as you can see, there is a mixed environment. So, crude oil price stabilized, further improvement of petchem margin to more than 760 euro per ton, whereas you're absolutely right that the refinery margin is under pressure. At the moment, it is below $3 per barrel, quarter to date. The Brent Euro spread is slightly lower than 1.8 achieved in the second quarter, is roughly 1.5, but I believe this is exactly the range we would expect for the full year. So 1.5 is still significantly higher than 80 cents recorded last year. So I would say that macro environment is according to expectations. So second quarter was really, really great, but if you look into the average year to date, the refinery margin is slightly higher than last year, and it should continue to be like this. And Brent Euro spread is almost 70 cents per barrel higher than last year. So I would expect that this environment on an average level would stay as it is. But what's very important, of course, the third quarter is always the best quarter for retail. But I can say that from the volume point of view, really we are doing good in the first quarter. So far, the holiday season helped to improve our volumes as well. As regards foreign exchange, so we all know the foreign exchange behavior. So assuming that the zloty strengthens a little bit as compared to the end of June, we should record some positive foreign exchange differences. So to conclude, I would say that the macro environment is mixed, and the second quarter was really great, but still we believe that 2010 will be better than 2009, and 2009 was really the worst period for refiners in the last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from line of Anton Sedokov. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Good morning, this is Anton Sedokov from Credit Suisse. Thank you very much for the presentation. I wanted to ask about the capital expenditures in the second quarter. Your capex in the second half of the year. Your capex in the first half of the year was quite low versus the annual guidance for the capex. Has your capex guidance changed so far, and how much are you going to spend in the second half?
Thank you very much. So our capex target is still the same. This is between 3 and 3.5 billion for these lotes. So usually the second half, we continue our investment like hydro-desulfurization and PACE PTA projects. So you may expect that the capex for the second half will be slightly higher than for the first half. So altogether should exceed 3 billion for these lotes, but should not be higher than 3.5.
Thanks a lot. And my second question, in the second quarter, you optimized your working capital. Do you think that it can be sustainable at this level, and we should not expect any working capital increases in the second quarter?
I would say, assuming of course the crude oil price stabilizes and Polish zloty would stabilize as well, I would not expect any significant movements from the ongoing operations of PKN Orlen. Of course, next year is slightly different because due to the fact that we start the operation of PACE PTA, we would increase our throughput by more than 1.5 million tons per year, so that's why you may expect some increase in working capital, but only starting from next year. But of course, we have a few initiatives on working capital, as presented on the slide number 16. And of course, this is the subject of the conditions we are going to receive. Of course, the sale of strategic reserves, as I said, we are working on the second tranche. So assuming we are successful with this project, you may expect additional cash inflow in the fourth quarter this year. In terms of crude oil price extension, this is subject to the terms we are receiving from the traders. So if the terms are satisfactory, this level will be sustained. If the terms are not comparable with the bank facilities, of course, this will be a little bit decreased. So this, the situation can be dynamic. We always compare this with the cost of financing we have. We have available credit facilities, so we are not under pressure to implement those instruments.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Robert Wilson. Please go ahead with the question and announce your company name.
Good morning, gentlemen. Robert Wilson from UniCredit. Just a few easy questions left for you. The first one, if you can tell us what is the book value of your Mažeiku stake currently. The second is if the ongoing or where do you stand with regard to the ongoing negotiations with the government on the special petroleum reserves? I mean, are these talks still on or off the agenda? Third one, if you can remind us how much interest you pay on these crude tables. And finally, also if you can remind us what is your stance with regard to Lotos, would you be in theory interested in that company? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. As regards the first question, our book value is $2.2 billion. So this is the amount. In terms of strategic reserve. Last week there was the next meeting in the Ministry of Economy, so the process continues, and of course there are discussions as well among ministries, meaning Ministry of Economy and Ministry of Finance. So from my understanding is that in the fourth quarter these topics should be discussed by the government. So the timetable is that beginning of next year we should expect the final decision in terms of resolution. Beginning of first half of 2011 there should be a final decision regarding this subject. As regards the interest, of course, this is a little bit, as you know, confidential information regarding our agreement with traders. I can just say that if you compare those with the cost of the financing, you would have very roughly the number we are paying for the traders to extend. So you know more or less our cost of long-term credit facilities, so basically you can easily calculate this. As regards the lotos, so our position is unchanged. That means that at the moment, according to Polish regulations, there are two companies acting in the refinery business, and nothing changed from the government point of view so far, so we are not in the process. But of course, you perfectly know that there are a lot of synergies possibly to be gained by business combination of lotos and PKN Orlen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Philip Jadek. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Good morning, gentlemen. Philip Jadek, representative of Bank from Vienna. I have two questions. The first one is your company is pretty much subject to foreign exchange valuation changes. On the EBIT side, it's positive when the zloty is weak, and the financial result it's negative, so the financial result eats up the positive results in the EBIT. Are there any plans to change this, for example, by changing the currency of your debt? And my second question is, at the Capital Markets Day in June, you said that you're interested in upstream acquisitions. Can you give us an update what's going on there? Are you still pursuing any acquisition projects there? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Of course, as regards foreign exchange, we should diversify this into two issues. First of all is, of course, accounting issue, and the second is the business. And from business point of view, we are long of euro and long of dollar, as you know. So from our perspective, of course, financing in dollar and euro long run makes perfect sense. And from the accounting point of view, of course, we have fluctuations quarter by quarter. We implemented this net investment hedge, so at least partially, we managed to put some foreign exchange into the equity. And the perfect example is, if you look into the last four quarters for PKN Orlen, the net change of debt due to the foreign exchange is basically decreasing of debt by 100 million Polish zlotys. So as you can see, throughout the year, the net effect of changes of foreign exchange is almost zero, whereas quarter by quarter, you have huge fluctuations. So basically, the only answer I can give you is please look more long-term and don't pay particular attention into quarter-by-quarter changes, in the, especially if they are not realized, those are not non-cash flow. So as regards the second question,
upstream acquisitions,
so as we indicated, first of all, we would like to stabilize our debt position. So far, of course, we are close to 40% gearing, but we implemented those working capital initiatives. So unless we really structurally decrease our debt, we don't plan any significant upstream activities in terms of M&A. Of course, we have those three projects, two projects in Poland and one in the Baltic shelf, and of course we continue those projects, but the amount we are going to spend is less than 100 million on a yearly basis so far.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Our next question comes from Gregory Balconi. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Gregory Balconi from Deutsche Bank. My first question is on FX losses. Total losses were 1 billion of which 0.4 billion was related to your debt. Of the remaining 600 million that you reported, is that entirely related to your working capital, mostly payables, or some of them are related to your investments? And with regards to the FX losses on working capital, am I right in thinking that, unlike your peers, you report these FX losses on working capital, or gains for that matter, below your EBIT line? My second question relates to mandatory reserves. Was there any significant need to increase your reserves in June, and whether it contributed to the FX losses as well as your working capital or payable increase in the second quarter? And my third question is that on Magyarki, you mentioned that there should be a decision in Q4. Do you mean a decision about the future of Magyarki, whether you're going to make a commitment to full divestment or full retention of your investment, or you actually plan to make a divestment, announcing a divestment, potential divestment in Q4? Thank you.
Thank you very much. As regards FX losses, of course you are right that that was more than 1 billion Polish losses recorded in P&L. Out of this, roughly half was due to the debt revaluation, and the remaining amount was due to working capital revaluation, mainly payables. So out of that, please remember that more than 300 million was unrealized foreign exchange revaluation of our payables. So if you look into July performance, I would say all those negatives turned into positives even. So this is pure non-cash revaluation. So of course we are revalue our working capital, payables, receivables according to the accounting standards, and we keep this in the financial part, so below EBIT line. As regards mandatory reserves, so we didn't have to increase our volumes in terms of mandatory reserves end of June 2010. So our volumes are still on the same, almost on the same level as the end of March. And the amount which is kept in the strategic reserves end of June is 5.5 billion Polish zlotys. Out of each, 5.2 billion Polish zlotys is in Polish operations, and 300 million Polish zlotys is in Lithuanian operations. So there is a slight increase in the value, but mainly due to this LIFO effect. So, but generally the situation is stable. As regards Mosaiki, of course, as I said, in the fourth quarter, there will be a decision which direction we should go. So you should not, of course, expect that assuming we decide to proceed with the looking for the looking of the strategic partner, that these discussions can be concluded in a few in the 2 or 3 months. So fourth quarter definitely is pointing out the preferable scenario, and then we will start adequate processes.
So going back on to FX losses, roughly 600 million was related to your working capital, mostly payables, and half of that was realized and half of that not realized.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, mainly yes. That was 100 that were related to the investment, foreign exchange related to investment, but in the rough calculation you are right.
Maybe this should be a question to your auditor, but why these FX losses and gains related to your working capital reported below the EBIT line? Like I said, most of your peers report these lines, these items above the EBIT line.
Of course, it's difficult for me to comment the accounting standards applied by other companies. I can just say that we are following international accounting standards, and if I sell or if I buy the crude and I book this in Polish zlotys at the date of purchase, and this is still valued in US dollar, and when I pay for this in 1 month's time, of course I pay still in US dollar, so any change in the Polish zloty will be booked as a foreign exchange in the financial cost. So from my perception, this is definitely according to international accounting standards, and this is approved by our auditors. So we are doing this from the beginning of our company. So I don't know. This is a subject for discussions with you, of course. But I don't see any reason we can just transfer those foreign exchange to the EBIT line.
So most of the payables increase in the second quarter was related to extending or in fact increasing the deferred food payment facility. It wasn't related to raising your mandatory details.
Not exactly, because we extended payment for the credit for the crude oil in February. So the payment, actual payment, was supposed to be made in March, but we extended this to April. And actually, if you look into foreign exchange behavior, we haven't recorded any losses on this. The main financial losses of financial negative exchanges were basically in June, due to weakening of Polish zloty against dollar end of June. So that's why, of course, we had quite significant deliveries as always each month of crude. That's why we needed to restate at the end of June payments for the crude. But as I said, the actual payments were made in July, and then the situation reversed. So really, we haven't realized those losses. Those losses turned into positive.
I'm not talking about the FX loss now. I'm talking about there was a 2.7 billion zloty increase in payables in the second quarter, at least that's by a cash flow statement. And so most of this was related to extending the deferred food payment facility. It wasn't really related to increasing mandatory reserves.
Okay, sorry. So you're absolutely right, but if you look from the net working capital increase, the net working capital increased in the second quarter by 1.2 billion. Because if you know, there's a crude oil price increase or whatever, you have an increase in inventory, you have an increase in receivables and payables at the same time. So of course, from this 1.2, 700 million was due to our initiatives, as presented on one of our slides, and the remaining 500 related to the changes in the prepayment for investment, for example, and other items. So I hope this clarifies.
Yes, it does. And just one final thing on the working capital optimization measures. So basically the rationale for you is that if the payment terms or implicit interest rate is more offered by your suppliers, is more favorable than your current cost of funding, then you would continue to maintain or even increase these working capital facilities. But if your borrowing costs decrease to below these levels, and some of these working capital measures will be reversed, correct?
Yes, that's right, absolutely.
Thank you very much for your help, it's very kind.
Thank you.
Just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to register a question at this time, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. To answer your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star one to register a question, or the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from Rafael Viatra. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Hello, this is Rafael Viatra from Citi. A quick question, how much capacity you still believe you have on extending the payables?
Of course, it's a question I could not answer at this stage. This is subject to the discussions with the traders, but I would say that as presented, 1.8 billion is quite a significant amount, so this is not our intention that we would go for very, very, very much higher number than we have currently.
Okay, so the different question would be, this level of 14 billion, is this something that should we assume could be sustainable for the next year, or do you believe that this number significantly will significantly decrease over the next 12 months?
Sorry, 14 billion?
This 14 billion that you have in payables at the moment.
So of course, subject to crude oil price, subject to Polish zloty against dollar. So if you assume that the situation is stable from the macro environment, I would say this is the level we should keep. Of course, the next year, as I said, assuming that we have more volumes from paid PTA and we have more crude oil throughput, and for example, Unipetrol and Mosaic would work full capacity utilization. So if we increase the volumes, of course, the working capital would increase a little bit as well. But if the situation is stable, of course, I don't expect that we will increase payables by any new initiatives.
Okay, the question, I mean, you understand probably my reasoning is that you are switching from debt financing into your supplier financing. And basically the question is, will this continue at this level? Will this increase or is this simply a temporary issue as you know you're trying to manage the situation with the bank, and at some point this will come down to the levels that we've seen in historically?
Of course, this is not our intention to significantly increase our initiatives. So, as I said, this 1.8 billion Polish zlotys extension of the crude oil price is a kind of, I would not say the ceiling, but we don't have any intention to further increase to significantly this number. But of course, subject, we decrease our debt position, for example, by selling of our assets, and we will be able to negotiate with the bank lower financial costs. Then we will compare financial costs with the cost offered by the trader, and ultimately I can assume that the traders would not be able to offer the lower costs offered by the bank, so that's why we just get rid of the extension of the payments. So we will react accordingly to the environment, and we always compare, and the ultimate goal is to basically improve our financial position and to reduce the financial costs.
And one sort of a sensitive question, so I don't want to put you in a sort of kind of uncomfortable position, but from the perspective of the management, if you can say to how you feel regarding the NJP, because the message from let's say the Polish government or the president or the Lithuanian government is sort of different to what you have decided to do, starting the process of finding the buyer for Mosaic. So the message from the government, Polish government recently has been, no, it's not going to be sold, and the Lithuanian government is saying, or at least the message is, it's not going to be sold. And you as a management, I don't want you to respond, but to what extent you feel that you are able to do what you want to do, or at least what you started to do.
Okay, thank you very much. So I can say that I feel definitely comfortable with the understanding of Mosaic situation. We know perfectly what we would like to do. We have the timetable and we have the action plan set. So from that perspective, we as management board, we really feel comfortable. But you're absolutely right, I feel very uncomfortable to comment the President of Poland and the Prime Minister of Lithuania speeches, so please allow me not to comment.
But you don't see at the moment that if you had a buyer tomorrow, do you believe that you would be able to sell it?
First of all, we haven't started the process. Secondly, we haven't made the decision to sell it. So really the question is too early. I cannot answer right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Radim Kamula. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Good morning. Radim Kamula from Erste Bank. I've got questions regarding your power plant, gas power plant project of 400 to 500 megawatts. First of all, if you could bring some more light on the projects and the rationale behind it. I don't know what percentage of consumption you would probably use from these power plants and what cost savings this could bring. So if you could bring some rough calculations or at least outline the rationale, or if it's just a project to benefit from electricity prices, and also if you already are in kind of a discussions of gas deliveries, probably with PGNiG. So it would be great if you could give some more information about the project. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So we continue with the project in a sense that we sent a request for information to the possible vendors of the power plant and possible companies we can cooperate with or create a JV. So for the time being, we are analyzing all different options. First of all, what kind of technology we are going to use, and secondly, whether we are going to build it ourselves or together with partners. So really, it's too early for such discussion. We are going to conclude our reasoning in the first half of next year. So please, it's really too early to go into more details in terms of synergy and cost savings. But definitely, if you look at this project, we would look, first of all, in the standalone, so energy plant standalone business, but of course, due to location, which is very close to fertilizer business of Anwil, of course, there will be some synergies and for sure, limitation of risk of this project. But to conclude, as I said, please, we can discuss in more detail at the beginning of next year.
I don't, maybe you also can answer, but rough estimate of costs for that, 2 billion polizloty?
If you look into the rough estimation, you may assume slightly, let's say 2 billion plus. So, but this is going to be spread, if we make the decision to build it, of course, this is going to be spread over the period of, let's say, 4 to 5 years. So as you can see from our perspective, the amount of 500 million on a yearly basis, this is not the amount which is really significant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to register a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. To cancel a question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star one to register a question, or the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while questions are being registered. We have a follow-up question from the line of Rafał Wieczorek. Please go ahead with your question and an actual company name.
Rafał Wieczorek again from Citi. A quick question on Mosaic here. As a management, we have sort of range of expectations at what price you would be satisfied to dispose the asset. Do you believe that you can get the book value given the numbers that Mosaiki are generating currently in the past and probably over the next year?
Thank you. One of the targets for Nomura is to prepare the valuation of the company. So for me, it's too early to answer these questions. Once we see the valuation, we will be able to make our decision what kind of range we expect.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Jan Komanik. Please go ahead with your question and an actual company name.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen. It's Jan Komanik from Bulls. First, congratulations to your results. Very nice, I'm happy with that. Thank you. And the one follow-up question concerning the sale of mandatory reserve reserves. I know you tackled the area already, but one information I missed, maybe I just overheard. What's the current plan in terms of the timing or the period during which the government will be taking over the inventories? I think, if I remember correctly, from Lotus' conference call, that they kind of plan to take it over gradually during 10 years period. Is it the very latest option that the government is considering, or do you see a likelihood that the period could be shorter and that you could get rid of the state of inventories earlier than in 10 years horizon? Thank you.
Thank you. I can confirm that currently the Ministry of Economy and Ministry of Finance are saying about 10 years period of taking over. Of course, we at PKN Orlen would like to do it as early and as quickly as possible. But again, I would say that any resolution is better than nothing. So even if this is 10-year period, in our situation, this is 500 million each year coming into our cash. So we discussed power plant, for example. So just to give you the comparison, assuming that this is 10 years period, 500 million comes to our company and we can use this 500 million to build the power plant. So even 10 years is, I would say, not acceptable, but it's I would say this is not maybe reasonable, but ultimately it's acceptable for us.
Understood. Thank you for explanation.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We appear to have no further questions at this time, so I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you, operator. Thank you very much to all the participants for participating in today's call. And this concludes our presentation. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.